You want, like Pastor Tim said, you can pack the bags, or you can help deliver them. He's going to lay down and take a nap while we minister great peace. Well, we just come out of this series, and let me make a disclaimer at the beginning. You people are so kind, and I love you so much. You're trying very hard not to stare at my head when you talk to me. But if you haven't noticed yet, I got a little shave spot there, okay? I had a little surgery procedure done, and I'm doing fine, and nothing's wrong. I'm just trying to heal now. You ever have a procedure done, and the wound starts to itch because it's healing? So all morning, I was like, oh. Having a wrestling match with myself, but things are going well. And this morning, I want to talk to you about surviving life's storms. Anyone ever go through a storm, a tumultuous situation, a relational issue, a financial blunder, just miscommunication that's totally messed things up in the family, and you're wondering how to get things right? I want to talk to you about how to survive those kind of storms in life in a biblical way. And so in your bulletins, there's an outline if you'd like to follow along with this morning. And you can pull that out. We'll have answers for you and all that. We're going to look at the book of Mark chapter 4. Go ahead and turn there. And we're going to read a passage that's familiar. It's the Bible story about the storm. But I want us to take a look at that, and we're going to read that so we can get it into our hearts. And then we're going to kind of dissect that a little bit and just kind of take a look at this. Because the question in life is this. It's not, what do I do if a storm comes? The question is, what do I do when the storm comes? We're all going to face trials, right? We're all going to have difficulties. We're all going to face a trial in our life. And maybe this morning I could ask, and don't raise your hand, but is anyone in a trial this morning? But a good question to ask is, what is a trial? Write down in your little outline there in that little bullet. A trial is this. It's a divine interruption in your life. That's what a trial is. Now, it may not feel like divine, but you see, when you're facing a trial, it didn't take God by surprise. So why do we get shook up when it takes us by surprise? The answer to that usually is because maybe we're not as close to God as we should be. Or maybe we've not made Him our first reaction to turn to Him. Because when you're walking daily with God and you're feeding yourself spiritually, when things come up, though they still may shake you up, you can be okay because you know that God's in control of all this and He's got it. He's got it taken care of. And that's what we learned from some of the disciples in the Word of God this morning. Mark chapter 4 talks to us in verse 35. I'm going to read 35 through 41. It says, on that day when evening had come, He said to them, to the disciples, let us go across to the other side. That's important. Let's say that together. Ready? Go. Let us go across to the other side. He didn't say, let me go across to the other side. He didn't say, you go over to the other side. He said, let us go to the other side. But if you look at the Word of God, you find out He sends them ahead of Him in some of those areas in life. But here He's saying, let's get on the boat. Let's go. Let us go across to the other side. So Jesus is basically saying that if I've spoken the words and said, we're going to go, then you're going to make it. But the funny thing happens, a storm pops up in the middle of all of this and changes their perspective. Verse 36, leaving the crowd, they took Him in the boat just as He was, and other boats were with Him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But verse 38, He was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to Him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? And He awoke and rebuked the wind and the sea and said, peace, be still. And the winds ceased. And there was a great calm. And He said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? It's a good question this morning because the disciples found themselves in a trial, right? Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. They got in the boat. They said, no problem. We have no problems when God says something as long as it's smooth sailing. We have no problems amening what God has and wants to do in our lives as long as it's going the way that we can predict it and we're used to it going. But when a storm rises, a divine interruption in your life, sometimes we get all shook up. And maybe today you're going through something that's shaking you up. The fact is, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. So if he said it, you're going to get there, no matter what storm you face. So we got to learn how to survive these storms and go through them. Do you remember how the emergency broadcast system used to come on TV and do a test? Do you remember that? You'd be watching your favorite show, and it would be at the best part, and this is a test of the national, I'd go through all that, and it would just annoy you, and then for the next 30 or 60 seconds or whatever it may be, they would do it, and they would do it at the most inconvenient times in your favorite program. Do you know that trials are somewhat like that? It's a divine interruption in our life, and sometimes we feel it's at the most inconvenient time in our life. I mean, I'm doing great. Finances are good. My husband, my wife, we're getting along. The kids aren't acting so weird. They're getting good grades. And then all of a sudden, this divine interruption shows up. It's something that it isn't necessarily that God causes to happen in your life. It just happens in life. And then God uses it to teach us some lessons. But the thing is if we don't have a good, solid foundation, when those storms come, they're going to tip us over, aren't they? You've got to have a good, solid ballast, a good foundation. Hey, let me read this story to you. It was in 1979. It's a tugboat that was headed down the Tombigbee River in Alabama. Okay, so we're in Alabama right now. And this boat was flowing down, and it was going fast because the waters had risen. And here's the deal. The barge that was going and pushing its stack of coal was supposed to do like it does here at Clinton. The bridge turns, right? Lets the barge through. Well, here it wasn't quite the same. They had a bridge that they lifted up. But they couldn't get the bridge lifted up quick enough. The boat was coming in too fast. Not only that, but the waters had risen and the current was strong. So what happened was this. I'm going to show you a succession of pictures of what took place. And go ahead. Show the first one here. Here's the boat getting ready. Go ahead to the next one. We're going to click through it. It's heading towards the bridge. Next one. It sees the bridge. It had unloaded its cargo because it knew it was heading for the bridge, but he still doesn't know what to do because he's heading for the bridge. Next picture. The current starts to turn the boat right when it gets face to face with it. Go ahead to the next one and spins it sideways. Keep going. Next one. It starts to take it under because the current is so strong. Go ahead to the next one. Can you imagine being the captain at this point of this ship? I think he's thinking, I've lost my job and maybe my life. Go ahead to the next one. It starts to go underneath. Next one. But by God's grace on the other side, it popped back up. Go ahead to the next one. Started to upright. Next one. Next one. Take a look here. You can see water gushing out of the doors and windows. Go ahead to the next one. And there's water pouring out right there. And it starts to sit up. Go to the next one. It's sitting back up. Next one. And it's up. Go ahead. Is there another one? And it's going to reattach to its cargo load on the other side. Is there any more? Is there one more? Three more. Go ahead. Next one. See the smoke? Can you see kind of the smoke in the back? Engines are running, folks. This thing's working. And there he goes, off on a normal day work. Right? Here's the interesting thing. There's one reason only that boat could do something like that. And it had nothing to do with being a new boat or anything like that. Quite the opposite. It should have gone horribly wrong. But it had a ballast in it that was so thick. Let me read this to you. It says, he put his 1,800 horsepower two engines in reverse to get away. But when the boat moved slightly offline, the current swung the boat sideways, slammed it into the bridge. The current was so strong it forced the boat underwater. To the astonishment of onlookers, it passed under the bridge and popped up, upright, with the engines running, still going, and the pilot at the wheel. On the other side, the pilot was at the wheel on the other side. Why did it come back to the surface in an upright position? Because it was ballasted with a meter-thick lining of cement on the bottom of the hull. That's why it could do that, because of the thick ballast that it had, that when the storm or the current or the trial, the divine interruption in that guy's life right there, because of that strong ballast, when it got underneath, it just popped right back up. Everything was fine. You see, we're going to face storms in life, and the question will be, do we have what it takes deep down in here? Not superficial on the outside. I got my Bible. Did you see me, Pastor, when I walked in this morning? I carried it. But that doesn't impress God very much. He wants to know, did you get into the Word of God? I prayed this morning. Did you pray, like, pray with hanging out with God, or did you just say, Lord, thank you for this bagel and orange juice? Which, that's good to do, but it's superficial. You got to dig deeper and really start getting earnest and passionate for seeking Him. Some of us are sitting back waiting for God to get earnest and passionate for us. I would like to offer to you, He already has. He sent His Son to the cross. And He says, now I just want time with you. You see, we've got to have this kind of a foundation when we're going through the storms. This was an unexpected interruption in life. What happens when you face unexpected interruptions in your life? Are you able to pop back up, reattach to that cargo load, and move on? See, some of us, we just get pulled sideways and we bail. We jump out of the boat. We're ready to just quit. You know, in school, I had pop quizzes. How many of you guys had pop quizzes? Did you love those? Me neither. I didn't like them. And the reason was is because they were a surprise. They were unexpected. I don't know if they were really divine, but they were definitely interruptions into my life. You see, pop quizzes are different than a test. Tests were somewhat expected. You had midterms, you had finals, you could practice, you could study, you could prepare. But it's the pop quizzes I didn't like because you never knew when they were coming. They're unexpected. You didn't know when, you didn't know what. Trials are when God gives you pop quizzes, when all of a sudden something kind of comes up. But like a good teacher, though, God only gives you pop quizzes on that which He's already been teaching you in the classroom of life. He's not interested in catching you by surprise so that He can prove you wrong. When he tests us, or we go through those surprise pop quizzes, He only tests us on things that we've already learned, but maybe just haven't applied yet. Sometimes, have you ever found out that that's how God gets you moving? It's kind of like you know you should be doing this, but you don't do it until you find yourself in trouble. Then you start crying out more. You see, He wants to know when the pressure of life comes on, what's on the inside that's going to come out. That's what He's trying to get to. God doesn't test you on things that He's not taught you. So the question in a test is this: do I know the information? Right? When you take a test, do I know the answers to the test? Do I have the information? And many of us, we want to audit the Christian life. We don't want this for credit, because audit means this. It means you don't have to take any tests. It means you don't have to do any assignments. You don't have to have any homework. You can come to church purely for the information with no interest and no intention of ever taking any tests. There's only one problem, and I put it in your outlines, and it's this. The problem with God's test is no auditors allowed. These tests are for credit. I'll probably be drinking a lot of water today, so forgive me. Took Benadryl, so my head wouldn't itch, but now I'm like, whoa. You know, kind of drying out a little bit here, so this is going to be a fun service. I'm going to have a blast. I don't know about you. These are the tests that we take for credit, because God is seeking to pass us to the next level of our spiritual development, our spiritual maturity. When you face a test or a trial or a temptation, something that comes into your life unexpectedly, it's always to test your faith and to deepen your commitment. As a matter of fact, that's two things I have in the outline there. You can write those down. What are two things that come out of a trial? One is they let you know where your faith is at. And number two, it deepens your walk with Him. It lets you know where you're at. Isn't it true when you go through a trial, what's the first thing you cry out to? Is it God or is it the bank? That kind of lets you know where your faith is at. If you cry out to the bank before you cry out to God, your faith is in the wrong place. Is there anything wrong with the bank? No, there's nothing wrong with that. But our priorities are backwards. We also learn in trials that it deepens our walk with Him. Because when you go through a trial and you start crying out to God, you find out that God's the only answer you've ever needed. But you didn't know that until you were willing to dig deep, to get into His Word. That's the purpose, to try your faith. Do you really believe what you said you believe? Do you really believe it? Because I can preach a message and you can take notes and you can go home and we can feel good that we've learned, and we have. But what makes it happen and engages it is when that trial comes. What are you choosing to do? Stand on your faith or stand on your knowledge? You know, we've got that choice to make. One of the great scriptures that you heard about, found in Mark that we just read, had to do with the storm. Jesus has been teaching. They'd just been in the classroom, right? The disciples, they were there teaching before they got in the boat. Jesus is teaching. They're in the classroom. And he says, let us go over to the other side. Guess what's happening right here? Just what we're talking about. Jesus is in the classroom. He's been teaching the people and the disciples. And then he says, let's get in the boat and go over. God knew exactly what was going to take place. And when it took place, it was a test the disciples were going through. Everything's fine. They get out into the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And one of the things that I would enjoy doing, I think, in my lifetime is visiting Israel, seeing some of the places over there, to be able to see the places that I read about in the Bible and to see where Jesus walked. One of the places to see would be the Sea of Galilee. This is the sea where the storm, and it's not necessarily a sea more than it is like a lake, but when you go from one side to the other, it was big enough. It was more like a river. You know, it was long enough that they were going to have to take a boat from one side to the other. And on the sea, Jesus and the disciples are on a boat, and it says a fierce windstorm arose. The Greek word for this onslaught of wind is called lilac. It's the word lilac, which also means a storm. Lilac, and now if you're like me, you're thinking of the bush, right? The purple flower and all that. When I was growing up, there used to be a lilac bush outside of the window of my bedroom, so I would always be smelling that thing, and I loved the smell of lilacs. But this way it's being used has to do with a storm. You've seen storms, but this is a bad storm, okay? It sent water roaring, the boat was shaking. You've seen storms before that were bad, but you didn't have much wind. But then all of a sudden there it was, a fierce wind. That's a lilac type of storm. And Jesus said to them, let's go over to the other side. That would seem easy enough because they could all see the other side. But when the storm shows up, you can't see, can you? You can't see where you're going. When we had this last snowstorm, it snowed so far that visibility was decreased. When a storm shows up, your vision is limited. So the question will always be, where's your faith? Because it's your faith in Christ Jesus that's going to get you through the storms, not your vision, not what you can see. I hate to drive in the fog. That drives me nuts. Anyone else like that? It strains my eyes, and I don't like that. And you can't see very far. And you know what I find myself doing a lot if I'm in a place unknown? I have my GPS on. My GPS can see further than I can see with my eyes. Now, I'm not saying that we should put all our faith in our GPS, but we should put all our faith in God. You know, when we're going through trials and problems, what is it that we can depend upon? We can depend upon God. So what was their response as the boat began to fill up? Verse 38. It says, he was asleep. He was in the stern, asleep on a cushion, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? The disciples are in a storm. And where's Jesus? He's asleep. He's asleep. So here's a question. What good is a Savior who's sleeping on the job? What good is a Savior who's sleeping on the job? What good is Jesus if he's taking a nap? This is what the disciples are thinking. This is what they're fearing. This is serious sleep, too, because it said he had a pillow, okay? Now, when I take a cat nap here and there, I'll just kind of lean my head into a chair or something. But Jesus pulled out a pillow. You know why? Because he's getting ready to go to sleep. He wanted to catch some Z's. Here's Jesus on a 6-mile journey with a pillow. He's in such a deep sleep that the text says that they had to wake him up. You would think that the storm would have woke him up, right? But no, he's still sleeping. So they had to wake him up. There was a lilac. There was a trial. And Jesus was asleep on the boat, so they had to wake him up. Then they posed the question that every Christian faces that goes through a lilac type of storm. And they said, don't you care? You see, I asked the question, what good is the Savior who's asleep on the boat? He's the one that's supposed to be your navigational point. If Jesus is your Savior and he's sleeping through the storm you're going through, not sleeping like he doesn't care, not sleeping like he wouldn't give it attention. In other words, he's at rest, he's at peace because he knows what's on the other side. If Jesus can be at peace about that, why can't we? Why can't we? See, when you go through storms in life, you're going to have to ask yourself, where is your faith going to be at? They posed this question when going through the storm. Don't you care that we're perishing, that we're dying? You see, when you're in trouble and it seems that Jesus is asleep, the natural question is, does he care? When you're in trouble and heaven is silent, it feels like God doesn't care, right? But that doesn't mean that he doesn't. Why does it seem that way? Well, because the lilac, here's what happened. It seems like a storm to them because Jesus was their Lord. But when the storm came up, guess what? The storm became their Lord. The lilac now became their Lord. That's why they were disturbed, because they took their eyes off of a Savior and they placed it on the storm that they were going through. The lilac, the trial, became their Lord. How do we know this? Because it took all of their attention. All of their attention was focused on it. They looked at their situation and said, "This is death. We're in trouble. What are we going to do? And Jesus, you're sleeping, so he must not care, right?" And they come to some wrong conclusions. Their experience did not match what God was saying. Jesus said, "Let us go over what? To the other side." They're getting ready to drown is what they feel like, and they say, "This is a contradiction." He said, "We're going to the other side. We're not heading there. We're getting ready to drown. That's what's happening." The two didn't match. How can God be good and things be bad? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Let me pose it to you another way. Why do bad things happen to good people? You know, we've asked those questions before. How can God be a God of love when I'm facing the situation I'm facing right now? And how can God care and let me go through this? See, their experience did not match the words that God or that Jesus had spoke. Their problem appeared to negate the promise, and they became afraid. Do you ever identify with that? Sometimes your storms become bigger than what your Savior is at that moment, and you start to shift your identity to the storm. Their circumstances controlled their emotions, and their emotions controlled their theology, their thinking. This lilac made them afraid, and their feeling of fear now determined what and how they would believe. And their belief said that Jesus doesn't care. They wake Jesus up in verse 39. It says, "He awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?'" He brought it back to the question of faith. Jesus asked, "Why are you so fearful? Why are you controlled by your emotions?" Then he gets to the point and says, "How is it that you have so little faith or no faith?" Now, let me say one thing that the disciples did right, okay? Here's one thing the disciples did right. When going through the storm, you know what they did? They woke Jesus up. If you're going through a storm, don't go through it alone. Wake Jesus up. Start seeking him for what you're going through. They may have had some flaws, but they did do one thing right. They woke God up. Nobody's sleeping on the boat now. They had enough faith to wake him up. And I know that it wasn't a bad thing, because Jesus got up and he did something. He calmed the storm. He was able to do that. In their fear and in their doubt, it still took them to Jesus, right? So maybe they did face a storm, and maybe you and I face situations where we let something else be the higher priority, but when it eventually gets us to God, as long as we get to him, God will continually work on our hearts so that when we go through those situations, he's the one we go to first. Then Jesus speaks after he calms down the trial, the lilac, the storm. He said to them, "Why are you so fearful and have no faith?" This may not seem to be very sensitive. You would think that maybe Jesus would be a little bit more understanding. You know, "Oh, I'm so sorry, guys. I mean, I didn't mean to shake you up." You know, that's something we would say, right? But there's water in the boat. Now, I don't know much about boats. I don't mind going out on boats, but when water starts to get in the boat, a little bit of panic starts to rise in my heart, because water belongs out there, not in here. And that's kind of how we feel about storms. Storms are fine when they're out there. But when they get in here, then we start to panic. I like storms. I love storms. I love to watch them. I love to see tornadoes. I don't like the destruction. You know, I just like that mysterious atmosphere, you know. And so I remember as a kid, I loved it. I'd go out in the front yard. Tornado siren would go off. Everybody's running for the basement. I'm running for the front yard because I want to see this thing. But I've got to also understand that when storms are out there, that's one thing. But when they're inside, if there's a tornado heading for my house, now I'm going to panic a little bit. I'm going to worry. Same with trials. We're fine with them on the outside, but when it affects us personally, we start to trust not in the one who's sleeping on the boat, but we start trusting in ourselves, or we start looking for somebody else, and it kind of confuses us. Why would Jesus make this statement that he made? You notice what they called Jesus in verse 38. They called him teacher. Did you see that? Okay, verse 38. They called him teacher. Here, write this down in your outlines. This is the job of a teacher. The job of a teacher is to communicate truthful information to you so that you can learn. That's what a teacher does. He communicates truthful information. A good teacher tests, they test you to see whether you've learned the information or not. Jesus had been teaching on the shore. Now he wants to go. In verse 35, he says, let's go over to the other side. Did you catch that? Us. Not you, not me, us. We are going to the other side. So if God says that we are going, then we, all of us, everybody that he's speaking to, are going. The question is what is God speaking to you in the midst of your storm today or your trial, whatever it is you're facing? Because if he's telling you you're going to get through this, then guess what? You're going to get through it. You know, I've faced many temptations and trials. I know recently one of them that I've gone through a hard time. I just experienced a difficult time. And I know that the Lord said, Jim, this is really going to stink, but you're going to be good in a little bit of time once you get on the other side of this. You know what my response was? Let's just get to the other side. Right? Let's just forget the whole lilac storm thing. Peace be still. What do you think about that, Jesus? Can we just do that one? And sometimes he will do that, but more than likely, he's going to navigate you through those storms. And this is personally what I think. I think he does that with me, because if he just said, peace be still like that, and took care of all of my storms so that I never had to face one, guess what my amount of faith would be? It'd be little. Because I trusted in him to silence the storm, but when you go through a storm and you trust God to navigate you through them, your faith increases, doesn't it? Why? Because water's getting in the boat. Because things are happening that aren't supposed to be happening, and I don't know what to do. What a good teacher does is he will teach you that information that you must know so that you can face the storms that you go through. Now, sometimes God will go to sleep on you, so to speak. Not because he's disinterested, not because he doesn't care, but because he wants to see whether you're trusting in him and his word in spite of what you see. You see a storm, God wants to know, do you see him first or do you see the storm first? God will always show up. Peter. Is Peter the one that walked on water? Thank you. I just went blank. I was Paul. It's 50-50 there. He walked on the water. He stepped out on the word of God. But when he started to sink, Jesus didn't go, Paul, man, your faith stinks, and let him drown. No, he reached out. He grabbed him. He picked him up. It's in the midst of those storms that you go through. Start looking for God's perspective in that storm when things are going bad, when things are like, I don't even know what to do. How much do you look for God in the midst of the trial so that he can be your Savior, your deliverer? See, God wants us to be able to call upon him. Sometimes God leaves us out there feeling all alone. Not really that we're alone, but we feel like it. You ever felt alone? You ever feel like, you know, you pray and it bounces off that woodwork and comes right back down? It doesn't mean that that's true, but sometimes that's how we feel. Now, that's not a fun place to be. It's not a fun place to be left out there based on his word alone. We don't like that word alone. See, one of the things we have to learn is this. It's a bullet in your outline there. What the teacher wants to know when you're going through those times is, do you trust him? Because the goal of a trial is always to develop your faith. When you're going through a trial, the goal of that trial, now let me stop just a minute, because when we say the goal of the trial, God did not create a trial to make your life miserable, okay? So that you could learn this. You're just naturally going to find yourself in trials. In this world, you will have troubles and trials and temptations, but be of good cheer, right? Because he's overcome the world. He's overcome the world. But he says, now when you find yourself in this trial, then why don't we use that as a classroom? Jesus will be the teacher. We will be the student. He's Mr. Miyagi. We are Danielson, okay? And he's going to tell us sometimes to paint the fence. He's going to tell us to wax on, wax off. And we're going to say, why am I doing this stuff? Because there's something that we need to learn. And it's found, like we talked about the other week, in the small things, not in the big things. Can you obey him in those small things when you're going through a trial? But God, my paycheck's pretty slim here. And you want me to tithe? Yeah, why? Because it's the word of God. He wants to know, do you trust him? But Christmas is coming. He knows that. You know that. So there's no discussion. He just wants to know, do you trust him? What the teacher wants to know is, do you trust him? Because the goal of a trial is always to develop your faith. What the disciples should have said was, things are bad. Looks like we're going to perish. However, teachers said, we're going to the other side, so we're going. We're going. In fact, he's so confident that we're going to make it to the other side that why don't we just pull out a pillow and lay next to him? Jesus told us over here, let us go. I mean, it's kind of wet, smells like fish up here, but I think I can still nap a little bit. They should have just moseyed on up next to Jesus and snuggled up next to him and rested because he's their Savior. See, if he's got that much faith in his Father, then we can have that much faith in him. So we need to, in some of these storms we go through, go to sleep, rest, say, peace be still, speak the word of the Lord. When you're going through a trial and it appears that God's gone to sleep on you, what God wants to know is, what are you going to do? Who are you going to trust? Jesus is the God-man, okay? They talked to him about being the God-man. He's not part God, part man. He's all God, all man. All man rolled up into one. Because in the chapter, he's asleep on the water. But a few chapters later, guess what? He's going to walk on the water. He's all in all. God has all the answers, so we need to make sure that we understand how that he's the fully God and fully man. He is the God-man. He's the good news, because as man, he can feel what we feel. Have you ever wondered that? We were watching, I was watching this. Don't try to lay down and take a nap while watching The Passion of Christ, okay? It doesn't work. I dozed off, and I just had some disturbing dreams, and I woke up with tears in my eyes, and because, you know, you can still hear it in that. And but I got done watching that, and I started asking. I was driving down the road. I said, "Hey, Drea," because Drea kind of thinks the way I think. We're kind of weird. But I said, "Drea, have you ever thought of this?" I said, "Jesus is Jesus, right? So he can do anything, right? Yeah. He can do anything. So he didn't have to die on a cross. No, he didn't have to die on a cross. But he chose to. Yep. Yeah, he chose to." I said, "Does any part of you ever wonder if he said, like, okay, I'm here in man form, but because I got a little, you know, bling bling thing going on here, I'll act like I'm in pain when I'm really not in pain. You know what I'm talking about? You ever have these weird thoughts? Like, did Jesus really experience all the pain? Or did he just, like, you know, ow, you know, because he is Jesus, he can determine what level of pain. He's God. He's Jesus. He can say pain's like in a mosquito bite to him." But, you know, I wonder those things. But then I forget that God is God, but he's not just all God, he's all man. And it says that he came to take on all of our sins. God experienced all that pain. He experienced all those tormenting thoughts and feelings, all for you and me, so that when we go through storms especially, we can trust in him. You see, he wants to get you through the storm you're going through. But the greatest one of all is this. If you miss eternal salvation, you're headed for a Christless eternity. You will experience lilacs like you've never had before, with no hope in sight. But here right now, we have hope. You're going through storms and you want to know how to handle them. You see, the point that we have to understand is simple. When you don't see that God cares or feel that he cares or sense that God cares, when his humanity is asleep on the boat of the storm that you're going through, his deity is fully aware of everything that you're facing. When his humanity is asleep, his deity is awake, when he's allowing it to continue to reign in the circumstances of your life and in my life, God has promised them a guarantee of arrival. How many of you love it when you get on a plane and they say, "We can give you a guaranteed arrival time at your destination"? Thank you, but you can't believe in that, can you? You might say, "I'm heading from Moline to Denver," and you end up in Kalamazoo, Michigan, for all you know. You don't know what's going to happen to that plane. You don't know what's going to take place. You just don't know. I remember we tried to come back. We were in California. Sorry, Benadryl. We were coming back from California, and Rob and Samantha were getting married, our drummer. We wanted to make it back for their wedding. So we got our plans all set so that we could come back, and everything ran smooth. I mean, I got out of my meeting a little bit early. The bags were packed. We didn't forget anything, pretty much, I think. How would I know? I can't remember it. So we got the car to the rental company. We get to the gate, and our flight was delayed. And then it was like 2 or 3 hours later, and I think it was because of a snowstorm or something going on here. Then there was another, that flight was delayed. Then the next flight was delayed. I was ready to go at like 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Lisa and I are getting ready to head out. We were still at the airport at 10 p.m. trying to get a plane. And finally they said, "No flights. You have to get one tomorrow," to which I was miffed. I mean, I don't get mad very often, but you stick me in an airport for 8 hours when I wanted to be home at a certain time, you get a little bit unpleasant. And you experience divine interruptions in your life. and you get a chance to figure out how you're going to handle them. See, God uses those moments, doesn't he? You're going to find that God not only uses those moments, but you can't always depend on the guarantee of what man says, but you can depend on the guarantee that God gives in his word, because God always comes through. God has promised us, when he says you're going to get through to the other side of the storm that you're facing, guess what? You're going to get through it. The question is when you get through it, are you going to get through it with the faith you found in God or the faith you found in self? You see, the point is simple. Write this down in your outlines. Jesus can be trusted in the storms of life. Jesus can be trusted. In fact, you won't know how much you can trust him until you're in that storm. You will sit here right now today going, the sun is shining, the birds are singing, and in my world, if it's all happy and go lucky me, it's about 95 degrees, okay? And life is good. Can I trust God for the storms that come through in life? Absolutely. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Then the storm shows up and I go, good God, what's going on? See, your faith, that's when the test happens. That's when you get the challenges that you face. You won't discover he's all you need until he's all you have. Until he's all you have. Mom and dad can't help you. Family can't help you. Friends can't help you. Bank can't help you. No one can help you but God. All of a sudden, you find out that's all I ever needed in the first place. If I just would have started with him. Verse 41 says, let's read this one together. Verse 41, it's in your outlines, and I think it's right there. Let's read it. Ready? Go. And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who can this be? Who is this dude? He's on the boat sleeping in a storm, and the next minute, pow, he's telling it to shut up, and it does. How would you like to be on that boat? I mean, maybe not for the first part, but for the second. You know, that would be incredible to see. God says, peace, be still, and it happens. Who can this be? See, Jesus will make you say that about him in the storms of your life. If you're going through a trial, have ever gone through a trial, going through a trial, guess what? If you're not in those two categories, you're headed for one. The thing is Jesus wants to do this. He will, when you put your faith in him, make you say things like, how did that happen? I don't understand. That it had to be God that moved. And guess what? It probably was. See, they feared exceedingly. Jesus asked what they were so fearful of. And the disciples, they would have answered, but they were too scared to even talk. They were just scared. They looked at this trial. They looked at this crisis, and they said, we don't have the money. My marital status is all flipped upside down. Maybe they were emotional crisis that they were facing or we face. Maybe today you're facing a physical battle, whatever it may be. It is not shaking God up. He's not sleeping on the boat because he doesn't care. It's because he knows you're going to get through to the other side, and he wants you to have his faith. He doesn't want you to expect him to conform to yours. Do you see what I'm looking at, Jesus, you may say? Do you see this? Do you see my problem? Do you see my checkbook? Do you see this confrontation I'm going through? That's why I'm afraid. I'm afraid because these people are calling and I have no money. I'm afraid because I know what I'm doing is not right, but yet I know that I'm scared. I don't know what the direction is. Verse 41 says that when they saw what Jesus could do, when they saw the wind and the wave obey him, then they didn't fear the storm anymore. Who did they fear now? They feared him. They feared him. Not Freddy Krueger type of fear. Okay? They didn't go, and they were in terror or horrified. But it was in awe of the power of God. Can I just remind you that if you're going through a trial, God is still powerful, okay? God did not lose his power because we lost ours or feel like we've lost ours. God did not lose his power. He's still in charge. He's still doing fine. He's still running the kingdom of God, even though we feel like our kingdom is falling apart. The question is what kingdom do you have? Maybe some of it needs to fall apart. Maybe that's not why it's being healthy or growing, is because it's been the kingdom of self. It's been doing what you want to do simply because you want to do it. I know that I had that kingdom in my life, and can I be frankly honest? Sometimes I still do. I'm not here to tell you I've perfected any way and walk ye in it. I don't want to have a Pharisaic or Sadduceic kind of a flair to my, you know, if you would do as I teach, you will be fine. No, I'm sharing with you the stuff I'm learning too, because we've got to learn this. And you're going to screw up, okay? You're going to fall down sometimes, but get back up. Get back up. You're going to face a storm, and the storm, you're going to go, and you're going to scream at the storm, but then God's going to go, you're going to go, oh yeah. And then the fear of the Lord, not a scared one, but one that says, I respect because I know there's power right here. Kind of like an electricity. We're afraid of electricity, aren't we? I mean, if not, you should be a little bit. Not fearful like, oh my gosh, I can't sleep. No, just don't go, and go grabbing wires. You have a healthy respect for electricity because you know that it can burn you. I worked for a guy in a hotel. This guy knew electricity like crazy. I mean, he just knew it all, and he's teaching me. And so he thought he'd have a little fun with me. And he goes, now when you're doing electricity here, he says, you got to get one of these here wires. He's Louisiana, had this twang. He goes, you can touch one of these little puppies here because that ain't going to hurt you. But if you touch both like this, and then he went, and he started shaking. And I'm freaking out. Where's the wooden cane? I'm looking for something to hit him with. You know, because that's what you're supposed to do if somebody's caught in that charge. And then he just started laughing because he understood that nothing was going to happen unless he was grounded or if he was grounded. He understood all this, how that worked. But I tell you what, I never forgot when I walked away from that, I thought, whew, man, I'm going to think twice before I go touching any bare wires. I learned to respect. Contrary to that, my boss played around with it, didn't have any respect, and he got shocked. He also blew up my multimeter doing it. Poof! You learn to respect things. God says, you got to understand that you get your fear off of that trial, get it back on God. The fear that says, it's the Proverbs, fear is the beginning of what? Wisdom. We all say we want to be wise, then start fearing the Lord. Not afraid of Him, but knowing that He's all-powerful. So verse 14 says that when Jesus, they saw what Jesus could do, they saw the wind and the wave obey Him, they started to fear Him. Let me ask this question this morning. What are you scared of? Think about that for a minute. Get it in your mind. What are you afraid of? Maybe some of you are afraid to fail. Maybe some of you are afraid that you live beyond your usefulness. Maybe some of you are afraid that you won't have enough money. Maybe some of you are afraid that God doesn't love you enough. It could be any of that. What are you afraid of? Because the storm that we're talking about not always is an obvious one to everyone else, but it's an inner turmoil, a lilac inside. And we've got to know that we've got to get our focus off of that storm and get it back on Jesus and start to fear Him. See, they were really scared, the disciples, of their circumstances. But when they discovered who Jesus was, they became very much afraid. They weren't scared any longer, but they were afraid with a fearful respect. The problem is that our circumstances cause us to fear them more than we fear the Lord. Look at the attention your trials get. You think about them all day. You talk about them all day. You fuss about them all day. You cuss about them all day. You complain about them all day. You can't sleep at night. You can't eat your meals because this trial's just shaking you up. You've got the wrong thing shaking you up. You're letting the storm control you. And because when they understood who Jesus was, they become very much afraid, it said. When they first went to Jesus, they said, hey, buddy, don't you see the storm? Don't you see the storm we're going through? And they found out who Jesus was. They said, who is this that tells the storms to shut up? And they shut up. You see, you always fear most that which is greater. We always tend to do that. The reason we fear Jesus less and circumstances more is because we perceive our circumstances to be greater, therefore we have little faith. And that's what Jesus was pointing out. We give power to our circumstances because they look bad. You know, there's a boat that was going to Alaska, true story, a cruise ship heading to Alaska. They knew they were going into a storm. They were heading for this storm, and they purposely went in there, but they didn't tell anybody that they were going to go into this storm. Could you imagine if they would have? Big cruise ship. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain. We're heading into one of the worst storms I've ever seen in my life, but I just want to let you know, it'll be all right. You know, you wouldn't feel very good, would you? So they didn't say anything, and they went into this storm. They didn't tell anybody they were going into it. Went into the storm anyway. And there was a lady that was sitting at the table eating dinner, and she wanted to talk to the captain. And she calls back. Talks to the captain, and the captain calls back and says, listen, ma'am, you don't have to worry. You're hearing a little bit of storm out there. It's all right. He says, because guess what? This ship was made with these kind of storms in mind. When they built this ship, they built the ship with these kind of storms in mind. This ship is seaworthy. She didn't feel very good about that. Storms kept blowing in that. She says, are you sure that this is going to be okay? And the captain said, ma'am, I want to make one thing very clear. When they built this ship, it was built with these storms in mind. This ship is seaworthy. You can go back to sleep because I will be at the wheel. Whenever they make a ship, they do it with the worst thing in mind. Why? Because you just might experience those. But even when you do, you've got to know that that ship is seaworthy. What experience are you going through? Are you looking at the storm outside of your window, or are you looking at the fact that the ship that you've been built inside, which is a relationship in Jesus Christ, is seaworthy, and Jesus is at the wheel? He's going to lead you through that. Now, I don't know what storm you're in, what storm you may be heading towards, but I do know this. If Jesus is on the boat, then your boat has been built with the storm in mind that you're going through. You're going to be okay and get to the other side. If Jesus Christ is in you and he's with you and you're in him, even though it looks like he's asleep, his deity is totally awake and aware of everything that's bouncing around your life. You know, planes, when you fly in planes, if there's a problem, you know what they do? They drop air masks and all that good stuff, right? If they need an oxygen, they've got that taken care of. Have you ever been on a plane that's been very turbulent, bouncing all around, you know? We were on a plane once that somebody up about five seats said, I think it says student driver on the side of this plane, you know, because it was pretty bouncy and it was pretty rough. You know, but there was one plane where it was very bouncy and this older lady was not feeling very good. And she didn't like it. And she's bouncing around. She's getting scared. She's getting fearful. Stewardess, is everything okay? And the stewardess said, yeah, everything's fine, ma'am. Everything's going to be just fine. I don't know about this, but all the while she's complaining, there's a little kid over here that's just giggling. Now, there's nothing that annoys you more, is there, than when you're going through a storm and you're afraid and you look over and see some little puke over here enjoying the ride, right? You know, I don't know if we're going to make this storm bounce around. This kid's over here going, woo, you know, he's doing his own personal little got the wave going on thing, you know, and it's just annoying her. And she, ding, 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 stewardess comes back over. Are you sure everything's okay? I've never been on such a bouncy trip in my life. Are we going to be all right? Yeah. Well, can you tell that kid to sit down? He needs a seatbelt on. You know, he's over there, woo, having fun. And it was just annoying the snot out of her. She gets ticked off and looks at the boy and goes, stop it. And he said, but I don't want to stop it. Stop it. Aren't you afraid? And the little boy looked back at her and said, no, I'm not afraid. He said, my dad's the pilot. And when your dad's the pilot, you know it's going to be all right. You see, you may be going through a storm right now. You got to remember this. Jesus is your pilot. And if Jesus is flying the plane, you're going to be all right. Have some fun. Whee! But if you're flying the plane, yeah, you better start dinging for the stewardess. Real quick. Because you got the wrong person in the chair. A lot of us don't know who's in the cockpit when we go through the turbulence. So we get all shook up. We get all scared. But when you know that Jesus is at the controls, even when there's turbulence in the sky, you and I, we can still enjoy the ride. Jesus has still got your turbulence under his control. So when Jesus seems asleep and you're in a storm, he's never been more awake than he is right now. Amen? So, Father, we just want to simply come and ask you, Lord, for the storms that we may be facing today, we need to see you move in a mighty way. Lord, we declare today that you are our Savior. You are our Deliverer. And Lord, like your word says, you're the one to whom we are to put our trust in. So, Lord, I pray today for those of us here that are going through storms, difficulties, temptations, struggles. Lord, sometimes we know that we're to turn to you, but we want to try other things out first. Lord, forgive us for that. Forgive us for that area of pride in our life that says we think we can do better. And Lord, today we just choose to humble our hearts before you. Lord, because we know that when we humble our hearts before you, your word says that you will raise us up. It's the prideful. They're the ones that fall. And we don't want to fall today, Jesus. So I simply ask today that for each and every one of us, I ask for grace. I ask for grace to be poured out upon us as we go through these situations. And I ask that you would set our hearts and fix our eyes upon you, Jesus. So we receive that today. And let me ask this. Are you here today and you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ? You're tired of the storms and you're ready for somebody to come and say, peace, be still. If that's you, just simply raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I agree with you. God sees your hand in your heart. Today he speaks, peace, be still. Receive that into your heart and your life. Is there any other hearts today? I agree with you. God sees your hand in your heart. Receive that today and know that as you have your hand raised to him, his heart is embracing you. Whatever storm you're going through, it's going to be all right. You're going to get to the other side. So today you can take great joy in knowing you can focus on him. You don't have to look at the storm anymore. God has got your back. Is there any other hearts here today? Wait for just a moment. I agree with you. God sees your hand in your heart. That today as you raise your hand, you're saying, Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. And as he does that, it removes that foundation that has only been growing the things that in your life that you've not wanted to see. Today he gives you a fresh new soil. He gives you a fresh new breath. That today you can receive that newness of his life. Receive that in Jesus' name. Is there any of the hearts here today? Okay. All right. Well, Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray today that as we leave, Lord, that you would cause us to focus on you more than anything else we ask in your name. Amen. Will you stand with me this morning? Some have asked those invitation cards. Remember the other week, season of smallness, small invitations? They said, have you got any more invitations? We do back at the information center. I encourage you to get some of those, put them in your pocket so as you're going through your work week. Just let it be one of those seeds that are planted. Hey, I'd like to invite you to church. Simple thing. You can grab some of those. But beyond that, God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll see you next week.